Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Chof Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 19 lines from the top of Daf Chof Gimel, approximately halfway down, a bit less. The Dibur HaMasa quoted from the Mishnah, Oy al Gabi Gomol. The Mishnah mentioned the possibility of having a sukkah built on the back of an animal, of a camel. The Mishnah tells us that you can have a sukkah on the back of the camel, however, you cannot use it on Yom Tov. Masnisin Moni, the Gemara asks, who is the author of our Mishnah that a sukkah on the back of an animal is kosher? Answer, Rebbe Meir he. This is in accordance with Rebbe Meir. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source which features a machlokes tanoim, a Tanaic controversy on this point. The source says, Ha'isus sukkasei al gabi behema, a person who builds his sukkah on the back of an animal, Rebbe Meir machshir, Rebbe Meir says it's okay, Rebbe Yehuda posel, Rebbe Yehuda disqualifies such a sukkah. My time of Rebbe Yehuda, what is the source of Rebbe Yehuda's disqualification? Omar Kral, the posuk says, Chag ha'sukkos tase l'choshivas yomim. That's the pasuk, and we darshan the pasuk. We explain it as follows: Sukkah haru'uya l'shiva, shma sukkah, a sukkah that's fit for use over 7 days. That is a sukkah. Sukkah she'ena ru'uya l'shiva, loy shma sukkah. A sukkah that's not fit for use over 7 days is not considered a sukkah. And since we know that the use of animals is prohibited on Yom Tov and on Shabbos, and in the course of Sukkot, so you're going to experience, obviously, the first day of Sukkot is the Yom Tov, and in most cases, Shabbos falls out in the middle as well. It's not a sukkah that's fit for the 7 days of the holiday. Therefore, it doesn't qualify as being a sukkah. For Rebbe Meir says, in light of the fact we have this pasuk, what's his response? So he says, Ho nami midoraiso mersechazio. As far as the use of animals is concerned, that is not, in other words, let's say sitting on the back of an animal, that is not something that is prohibited from the Torah. So from the Torah's vantage point, the animal doesn't diminish the 7-day use. Rabbinically, it cannot be used, but when you are looking at things through the eyes of a pasuk, so the sukkah on the back of the animal is not excluded by the pasuk, v'rabbonan hu de gozru ba. It's merely a rabbinic restriction not to use animals, benefit from animals or use animals on Yom Tov. Therefore, the pasuk itself doesn't pose a challenge to Rebbe Meir, who says that a sukkah on the back of the animal is a kosher sukkah. Of course, Rebbe Meir concedes that you're not going to sit in that sukkah on Yom Tov proper, but it's useful during Chol HaMoed. As far as Rebbe Yehuda was concerned, such a sukkah is not even useful during Chol HaMoed. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a Tanaic source and illustrations that accompany this. So we will take a look at illustration 396 in the Pirush Chai. This is found in the Pirush Chai, which is the book of illustrations which we've been using since the beginning of the Masechta. This is found on page 80, illustration 300, that's more accurately, page 81, illustration 396. The caption reads, like we will see in the Gemara, Asa lebehema doifen lesukah. you have a sukkah that's made, it has two walls, and the third wall, in this case the back wall, is an animal. Now there are a number of other details in the picture that we will pay attention to later in the Gemara, but we should notice at least that that is the case of a behemoth being used as a wall for the sukkah. The picture, the illustration 397, has an animal serving as a lechi. A lechi is an upright pole that allows carrying in an alleyway on Shabbos. Instead of an upright pole, the people fastened a donkey, an animal, to the entranceway of the mavui to serve as the lechi, that pole, which is a marker or reminder that this is now a different domain, different from the public thoroughfare. So the animal serves that role. In illustration 398, we see something called passe biros. Those are right angle units that you can call them little walls that measure an amo by an amo, and when they surround a pit, that entitles the public to draw water from the pit. The pit itself is a private domain, and to draw water to the surface of the pit, which is basically in a public thoroughfare. However, when you surround the pit with these right angles, you create a reshus hayochid inside their boundaries. And in this illustration, we see an animal being positioned to be one of the walls of one of the right angles. So we will see a reference to that in this source as well. And we see another illustration of a coffin with a cover. It's called the coffin, the dofek, and the top, the golel. The dofek might be we'll call it the side of a coffin, and the top is called the golel. That's according to Rashi. And the issue will be concerning the use of an animal as the cover of a coffin. The source has some other information in it, but we'll see that as we go along. So we now turn to the text, having at your side your Pirush Chai to make reference. The source says, Asol lebehema doifen lesukah. That was illustration 396. If someone positioned an animal to serve as a wall of his sukkah, Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Rabbi Meir is restrictive, and Rabbi Yehuda is lenient. It's interesting if you compare this to the source before, where the sukkah was built on the back of an animal. The animal wasn't making up the sukkah itself. It was just the location for your sukkah. There, Rabbi Meir was lenient, and Rabbi Yehuda was restrictive. Here, the opposite. Here we have the animal serving as the wall of the sukkah proper. So Rabbi Meir disqualifies that from being an acceptable sukkah, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's okay. Shehoya Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir had a list or a rule concerning animals. He said, Kol davar sheyesh bo ruach chayim, anything that has the breath of life in them, ein oisin oisoi. And now there's a list of items. Number one, an animal is not to be made lo dofen l'sukkah, not as a wall for a sukkah, v'lo lechi l'movui, that we saw illustration 397, and v'lo pasin l'biros, that we saw in illustration 398, v'lo goylel l'kever, nor the cover of a coffin, as we saw a cover illustrated in 399. Mishum Rabbi Yossi Haglili Amru, in the name of Rabbi Yossi Haglili, another point was added. We call it the fifth example. Af ein kaisvin olav gitei nashim. One cannot write a divorce document, which we call a get, on the back of an animal. In other words, to write the get on the animal's, let's say on the animal's skin. I'm talking about, of course, a live animal. And then to give that animal to the woman that you are divorcing. According to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, that will not be an effective divorce. Later in our shir, so we'll see sources for this. My taimo to Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara asks, what is the reason for Rabbi Meir concerning the prohibition of using an animal as a wall for the sukkah. Now, on the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading. Here we've said behema kedoifen, using a behema as a wall of a sukkah. It's a machloikis. Rabbi Meir posel. Rabbi Meir rules it unfit. Now we have Roman numeral number 1, midarabonan, and then number 2. There's a Roman numeral number 2 that we say midoraisa. So beware of this breakdown that there's one. The first approach that the Gemara takes is that it is an isur derabonan, meaning from the Torah standpoint, the behema serving as the wall of a sukkah is okay. That's from the Torah standpoint, and it's simply a rabbinic ruling disqualifying it. On Chof Dalid Omet Aleph, so take note of the fact that this is quite spread out, but on Chof Dalid Omet Aleph, toward the lower part of the page, there is another approach altogether, and that's presented by Rav Acha Bar Yankiv, that it is unfit. The animal as a wall for the sukkah is unfit from the Torah standpoint, and not just as a rabbinic restriction. Now that's as far as the overview, the broad overview of the sukkah. Now, under Roman numeral number 1, we say that the psul of an animal is merely rabbinic. Why? So there are two explanations given. One, shema tomus. If you're going to rely on the animal as the wall of the sukkah, but it might drop dead, you'd be left without a sukkah. Another approach says shema tivrach. The animal might run away. Again, you'll be left with a non-sukkah. So now we turn to the Gemara with the question of what is my time of the Rabbi Meir. So Abaye, the first approach says Omar Shema Tamus, the animal might collapse, and if he does, so then you won't have a wall of 10 tfachim, an animal lying on the ground where it had previously been standing, serving as a wall of the sukkah, but it's now collapsed on the ground. You don't have 10 tfachim of height to constitute a doifen, a wall of a sukkah. Rabbi Zera, Omar Shema Tivrach. Rabbi Zera says, if you're going to rely on the animal being your third wall of the sukkah, well, it might just run away. The Gemara continues, Bapil Koshur Kuli Alma Lo Pligi. If you were to have a tied up elephant as the wall of your sukkah, it's an elephant, meaning even if it were dropped dead, you've still got plenty of height of dead elephant there. You've got your 10th fochim will remain. And Koshur, it's tied up, so it's not running off anywhere. So if that is your third wall, a tied up elephant, kuli amalo pligi, everyone will agree, de'i nami mayis, even if it were to drop dead, yesh b'nevei laso asora, in the corpse that's left there, you've got 10 tfachim of height. The triangles that you see and are explained on the side under our mivneh heading, ki pligi is a term you'll see in the triangles, Shlavim, these are stages. Lahavin b'may pligi abaye verbizera. We're trying to find the circumstances under which Abaye and Rabbi Zera will really argue with one another. So the Gemara tries, it offers a suggestion, it will then question the suggestion, move on to a new suggestion as we go on. But the goal is to figure out what is the a practical case or an actual case where Abaye and Rabbi Zera would rule one saying kosher, one saying not kosher. So the Gemara says, keep pleading. Under what circumstances would Abaye and Rabbi Zera disagree? But peel shei no kosher. Imagine an untied elephant as your third wall. Laman v'yomar shem otamus. according to the opinion that says that the use of an animal is a problem because it might drop dead. And we explained before, in animals dropping dead, so you're going to lose your 10 tefachim of wall. That's the problem. When it's standing, so it has the proper height. When it's lying flat on the ground, it doesn't have sufficient height to serve as a wall. But an elephant, if the original consideration was because of the possible dying, well, let's say an elephant dies, that's not going to reduce the wall or disqualify the wall because of lack of height. A dead elephant corpse itself is more than 10 tefachim. So that, according to the Manda Omar that happened to Abi Abaye, that worried about possible death, and that's why he disqualified animals in general, he wouldn't disqualify an elephant even though it's untied. Now, the Manda Omar Gzero Shema Tivrach Chashinon, but according to Rebbe Zera, who disqualified animals based on the fact they might run away, well, the elephant might run away and you'll be left without a wall for your sukkah. The Gemara asks, Laman di Omar Gzero Shema Tomus, which we said was Abaye, and would say that the elephant is okay, but don't forget, we're talking about an untied elephant. Necho Shema Tivrach, why wouldn't you worry that it might run away? So disqualify it based on that. So that's a true point. The Gemara accepts that criticism. Elav appeal she'eno kosher kule alma lo pligi. In fact, an untied elephant, everyone would agree that it's unacceptable. It's puzzle. Ki pligi bebehema kshura. The point of machlokis will be a cow that is tied in place, serving as that third wall. Laman domar gzero shemo tomus chayshinon. It's tied in place, but it might drop dead, and you'll lose your 10 tefachim of height. The one who originally disqualified the animal based on it might run away. Lo chayshin. Here it's tied up. It's not going to run away. The Gemara asks, according to that opinion, and that says that an animal in general, you'd have to worry it might run away, and therefore if it's tied up, you don't have to run away. But therefore you want to tell me that Manda Omar will say that a tied up cow is okay, Necho Shemo Tomos, shouldn't you still be worried it might drop dead? And if it drops dead, you'll lose your 10 tefachim of height? So he says, no, I'm not really worried about it, because Misa Lo Shchicha, death is not a common problem, a common occurrence. Question, V'ho'ika Revocha Debeni Beni, even if the animal is alive and it's standing there as your third wall, but is there not a gap underneath the animal? And that gap would be a pirtza, ruining the wall, the animal serving as wall, from being an acceptable wall, because it's got this big space under the animal. The Gemara says no, because the case here where we have in our source where Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda arguing about the animal, it's the Ovid Le Behutza V'dafna. Just to be a little more accurate, we're dealing with the opinions as to why Rabbi Meir would disqualify the animal. So the only reason for disqualifying animal in the case of a tied up cow is that it might drop dead. But the opinion that says that you're worried about animals running away, that you would have no fear of in the case of the tied up cow. So the Gemara is asking, but even if you are going to allow it based on the fact that it's not going to run away, shouldn't you worry about the fact that there's this big space under the animal? And that would be the equivalent of a breach in the wall. So how can that serve as a kosher sukkah wall? So the Gemara answers, as you'll see in illustration 396, if you look closely there, the Ovid Le Behutza V'dafna. There are branches that are stuffed underneath the animal. So those will close up the gap formed by the underside of the animal. Question, V'dilma Rav'a, are you not worried that the animal might crouch, lie down, and you're going to lose your 10 tefachim? Gemara says, no, because we are talking about the Mesicha of Ashli Miliel. If you look at illustration 396 carefully, notice the Aleph. Notice there are ropes that are keeping the animal from descending even if it were to die, so the body would still be held in place. And even forgetting about dying, even if the question had been, are you worried it might crouch and lie down? Well, it won't be able to crouch and lie down, as you can see that by the fact it's being suspended with these ropes or straps. The Gemara asks, Ulamande Omar Gzera Shema Tomus. According to Abaye, who holds that you do have to take into consideration the possibility of death, Nami Ha Mesicha Ashli Miliel, namely, we got finished explaining as far as the fear that it might run away. Well, it's tied up, so there's no fear. So you can use a tied up cow. We said, well, isn't there still a problem of a gap underneath, or it might want to crouch down? So we answered, no problem of underneath, because there are branches that are stuffed in place closing that breach. As far as the animal wants to crouch down, so we explained just now that it's suspended by ropes. So with all of that information as the circumstances of the behemoth in the source, so we ask according to Abaye, Ulamando Margzero Shem Otomus. We, in the last section of Gemara, we said that this case of the tied up cow would be the point of Machlokas, and Abaye would disqualify it because it might die. But one second, if you're setting up the case of the animal being suspended by ropes, so Abaye, who was Choshe Shem Otomus, Nami Ha Mesicha Bashli Miliel. Even if it does die, the animal is still held in place by the ropes. So why would Abaye pasul? In other words, we were explaining that in looking for a difference between Rabbi Zera and Abaye, so we said that the tied up cow would be the point of difference. Rabbi Zera allowing, because there's no more any chashashem or tivrach, and Abaye disqualifying it on the grounds that, well, it might still drop dead. But why should that be a disqualification if it drops dead? Is it not suspended by these ropes held in place? So the Gemara says, Zimnin de moikim bepochus mishloisha somach l'schach. We're worried about a very specific case where the animal was tied into place just within three tfachim of the schach, so that the animal doesn't actually touch the schach, but it comes to a distance of within three tfachim. So we can say that the sukkah is kosher by virtue of lovud, by virtue of the fact that the animal is within three tfachim of the schach. So it's as if the animal is attached, the wall is attached to the schach. However, you might have set up the animal like that, within three tfachim, and if the sukkah wall is now going to be kosher through lovud. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, the kevon de maisa, maisa means die. And in the event that it dies, kovsa, the lava daite. Kovsa is to, you see a fantastic word in Rashi in French, the word retreat. In fact, the animal, if you position it just under the three tefach mark, and we're working with the assumption or the opinion that you cannot have a three tefach gap between the schach and the top of your wall. So, if the animal is tied into place, if it goes limp, so that which was within three tefachim is now going to be three tefachim away from the top, and the owner isn't going to be aware of that. That's v'lav adayate. He's not going to pay attention to that, and he's in fact now owner of a posel sukkah. So up till now, what we have what we've done is we've explained the animal serving as the wall of a sukkah. According to Rabbi Meir, it's unfit. If asked, why can you not use an animal as the wall of a sukkah? So, we saw two opinions, Abaye and Rabbi Zera. Abaye saying, well, the animal might drop dead and you'll lose your 10 tefachim of wall that way. And Rabbi Zera says the animal might run away. And at the end of the day, we had been looking for a point of difference between the two, and we found a point of difference. If you have a cow that is tied and suspended in place, so according to the opinion that it might run away, so he is not worried about that. And likewise, he's not worried about it dying, because he said Misa lo shchicha, and he's not worried about it crouching, because it's tied into place, it's suspended into place. According to Abaye, on the other hand, he will not allow the use of an animal, because he is choshesh for it dying, and if it dies, it's going to go limp, and you're going to then lose your lovud to the roof to have your complete wall. And if it goes limp and it's no longer within three tefachim of the schach, so then you lose your dofen, because it's now going to be less than 10 tefachim of wall there. And as the Gemara had concluded, it might in fact die, go limp, and the lovud will no longer be an option to take advantage of, and the owner in the meantime isn't going to realize. As we continue in the Gemara, you'll notice we have a long question. This is a very long question, and it takes you to the top of Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. On the side, we have under our Mivneh heading, a triangle is featured, and we call this a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give and take. So with the point facing up, those are Kushios, questions, and with the inverted triangle appearing, those are Tshuvos, responses. So the Gemara asks, Umi Omar Abaye, Rabbi Meir Chayish Lemisav, Rabbi Yudah Lo Chayish. Would Abaye really be the one to say that, in explaining why Rabbi Meir disqualifies the animal as a wall, on the basis of Rabbi Meir being Choshesh Lemisa, and Rabbi Yudah not Choshesh? The Hotnan. Now, bear in mind, we have a long question. And what the Gemara is going to do now is going to present two Tanaic sources concerning the realm of Gittin, of divorces, and we're going to see a seeming contradiction in the sources. Abaye is going to resolve the sources by saying that source number one, in which we saw that we're not Choshesh for Misa, that's according to Rabbi Meir, who is not Choshesh for Misa. And source number two is going to represent Rabbi Yudah, who is Choshesh Lemisa. Well, that resolution presents a problem for Abaye, because Abaye presented Rabbi Meir as being Choshesh Lemisa, and in the resolution of these two sources that are coming up, we're going to end up having Rabbi Meir represent the Shita that is not Choshesh for Misa. So the Gemara asks, and we're now turning back to the text, V'hotnan, do we not have source number one that says Bas Yisrael Shenisayis LeKohen, a non-Kohen woman marries a Kohen? And we know that a woman who marries a Kohen is entitled to eat from Truma. So we have such a woman that married a Kohen, V'holach Bailo Nizayam, and the husband traveled abroad. Ocheles B'Truma B'Cheska Shukayam, the wife is entitled to continue eating truma, as is the rule of a Bas Yisrael that is married to a Kayin. She continues eating truma, becheskas shehu kayim, with the assumption that he is still alive. Needless be told that a Bas Yisrael who's married to a Kayin and the Kayin dies, so the Pasuk describes the woman as going back to her father's home. And that, in other words, means that she no longer has the right to eat from Truma in the event that her husband dies, leaving her without children. Viraminon Allah. and then we raise another Tanaic source which would contradict what we just said. What did we just say in this case of the Bas Yisrael? The source spoke about the Bas Yisrael that married a Kayin, and her husband went abroad. She continues eating truma. She has a Fels Betrum, Becheskes Shu Kayim. In that source, then, we see that we're not Hoshesh that her husband died, even though he's not around anymore. He's traveled abroad. We assume he's still alive. Well, as far as assuming someone is still alive, we ask on that from the following source. For Aminon Allah, we raise a contradiction. A man says to his wife, "Hareze gitech sho achas kedem misasi." A man is divorcing his wife, and but if he's a Kohen, for example, and he makes such a declaration that I want this divorce document that I'm giving you now to take effect 1 hour before I die. Well, when is that 1 hour before he dies? We don't know. It might be the next hour. So we say, Asur lechol betruma miyad. She must stop eating truma immediately. Why? Because he might die within the next hour. And if he dies, or let's say by the end of this hour, if he dies, so then this time period now that she would have been eating the truma is the hour before he dies. And she was given a divorce document to take effect an hour before he dies. And what do we see in the source? She has to stop eating the truma immediately. So what does that show us? It shows us that we do entertain the possibility of death. We'll say, she might die within the next hour. And we should maybe a little more background. The reason that the husband is giving this divorce document to his wife is to save her from being subject to Yibum. If a woman is divorced and then her former husband dies, she's not bound to his surviving brother whatsoever. So it's in this couple's interest that they're a childless couple, and the woman will then be subject to Yibum, and let's say he's an undesirable mate. So the husband, before he dies, he gives her a get. And he doesn't know when exactly he's going to die, but he says, I want this get to take effect an hour before I die. So the source tells us that the woman is forbidden to eat from truma, showing us that we're hoshesh lemisa. Now contrast this case with the case in the Tanaic source Roman numeral number 1. There we said the husband who went abroad, the Kohen husband who went abroad, the wife continues eating truma, assuming he is alive. The Omer Abaye lo kashya, and Abaye says, as far as these two sources that we've marked, 1 and 2, they're not contradictory. Ha Rabbi Meir, dolo chayesh lemisa. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, de chayesh lemisa. Source number 1, that is not choshesh lemisa, because it said she's ochel spichum b'cheska shukayim. She eats her truma, this woman married to Kohen eats her truma, based on the assumption that he is still alive. That is Rebbe Meir's approach. He is the one who's not Choshesh Lemisa. Ha Rebbe Yehuda, the Chayesh Lemisa. Source number 2, which says that the get, which was given to take effect 1 hour before he dies, and she is a woman that's married to a Kohen, she better stop eating the Truma right now, because he might die within the hour. So that is, according to Abaye, that is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that is Choshesh Lemisa. Now, you see we have a bracketed section, and there's a note on the side, Sograim L'Shem Dilug, De Lagia Miyad L'Tshuva. The brackets that will appear here are here to enable us to skip to get immediately to the answer. I should say not to get to the answer, but to get immediately to the answer, because in on this Omid, you'll notice we started on the top line a long question where Abaye, where we were questioning, did Abaye really say that Rabbi Meir is Choshesh Lemisa? which we had said on Omen Aleph with regard to the animal serving as a wall of a sukkah, that was why Rabbi Meir disqualifies the animal as a wall, because in Abaye's terms, Rabbi Meir is choshesh lemisa. But right now we just saw that Abaye, in resolving these two sources, sets up source number one, which is not choshesh lemisa, as Rabbi Meir. So according to Abaye, Rabbi Meir is not choshesh lemisa. So how do we get out of that? So we use the brackets and we skip to the top of Chaf Dalet Omen Aleph, and lo and behold, it says Epoch, switch around. That which we answered in the case of the get, switch around and say Rabbi Meir Chayesh Lemisa. That means that source number two, which spoke about the get, is authored by Rabbi Meir, where in that source we saw you should concern yourself with the possibility of dying, and Rabbi Yehuda lo chayesh lemisa, and Rabbi Yehuda does not take that into consideration, that it might die, or that he might die. And that would be source number one, with the woman married to the kohen and the husband having gone abroad. So with this in mind, after doing the switch around, so we have Rabbi Meir Choshesh Lemisa, and that is what Abaye said originally back on Chof Gimel Omet Aleph, that Rabbi Meir is Choshesh Lemisa. And the Gemara continues, Desanya Aso Lebehema Doifen Lesukah, Rabbi Meir Posel, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, so that to set up Rabbi Meir as being Choshesh Lemisa, and hence the author of source number two as Rabbi Meir is a very reasonable thing to do. Rabbi Meir, after all, is the one that said don't use the animal as a doifen l'sukkah. Now we skipped a section, so let's try to understand what was the purpose of the Tanaic source in the brackets. In the Tanaic source, we're going to back up the answer we just gave. In other words, Abaye's resolution of the two sources that were marked Roman numeral number one and number two, where Rabbi, according to Abaye, Rabbi Meir is not Choshesh for Misa, and Rabbi Yehuda is. So where do we see that? Disanya. We have a Tanaic source which reads Halokeach Yain Mibein Akusim. A person is on Erev Shabbos. Shabbos is about to set in, and he bought wine from the Kusim. The Kusim are people whose affiliation with Judaism is highly questionable, and they do not practice the tithes that one is supposed to tithe from his produce. So here we're talking about a case where it's Erev Shabbos, and a person buys wine from the Kusim, and now he's kind of pressed. He needs to tithe, and he doesn't have the option of doing a physical tithe. So what does it say in the source? Omer, you can make a declaration. Shnei lugin shani osid lahafrish. Two out of 100 lug. Lug is a measure. So two out of the 100 lug that I will eventually leave over as a tithe, I'm declaring right now, Hare Hein Truma. I'm declaring them as the Truma tithe. Asora, 10 lug that I'll leave over at the end, I'm declaring Miser Rishon. Tisha, 9 lug, Miser Sheni. It means after you tithe, let's say from 100 units, remove 10% for Miser Rishon, so then you're left with 90, and now you have to tithe Meiser Sheni, that's another 10%, so 10% of 90 is 9. That's 9 I take off as Meiser Sheni. And the rule concerning Meiser Sheni is that if you don't want to bring the actual produce to Jerusalem and eat it there, you can redeem it, transfer its sanctity onto money. And that's what the next word means, Umechal. Mechal is the redemption. Uveshoise Miyad. And the owner of this flask of wine, after making this oral declaration, can drink immediately. Divrei Rabbi Meir.
Just
just for the sake of accuracy, we spoke about that this case is taking place Erev Shabbos, as we in fact said, but we have to add, he also doesn't have pure vessels in which to place the tithes. So he has to rely on this oral, this verbal declaration in order to tithe and not defile the tithes by putting it into other vessels. So what have we seen? So Rabbi Meir says you can do this verbal tithe and rely on that which you leave over at the end as the tithes. And you'd say retroactively, that which I'm leaving over was that which was declared at the outset as my tithe. Continuing at the top of Chof Dalet Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, three Rabbonim together, Oisrim, they do not allow. And here Rashi is critical. Rashi at the top, Oisrin, the Amrinon, Gezeiro Shemu Yiboka Hanoid. What they are fearful of is if you're going to start drinking the wine now based on that which you're going to leave over at the end, maybe the flask will break, will crack, and everything will flow out after I started drinking. So nothing will be left over at the end. And retroactively then no tithing took place, and that which I drank until that point was actually forbidden. It was untithed wine. So what do we see here though? We see that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's choshish for the cracking of the node of the vessel. And certainly if you're worried about the vessel might crack, you certainly should be worried that a person might die. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, he says go ahead and rely on this tithing, and he's not worried about the vessel breaking, and likewise he's not going to worry about people dying, or he's not going to worry about Shema Tomus. So that having been said, we see then that in fact Rebbe Meir is not Choshesh Lemisa, and Rebbe Yehuda, by virtue of the fact that he's worrying about the node breaking, is Choshesh Lemisa. So this is the end of our very long question. How could Abaye say that Rebbe Meir is Choshesh Lemisa when we see here by the wine he is not Choshesh Lemisa? So the Gemara answers, Epuch, switch that which we had said before. When we raised the contradiction in the two sources, which we labeled number Roman numerals 1 and 2, April switched them around. Rabbi Meir, Chayesh Lemisa. Rabbi Meir is Choshesh Lemisa, which then helps us to defend Abaye's original comment in explaining why Rabbi Meir doesn't let you use an animal as the wall for a sukkah, because it might die. And Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Chayesh Lemisa, and hence the sources that we had labeled Roman numerals 1 and 2, number 2 is now is authored by Rebbe Meir, and Roman numeral number 1 is authored by Rebbe Yehuda, where we were not Choshesh Lemisa. And this switch around is backed up by what we see here, Desanya, Asah Lebehema Doifen Lesukah. Rabbi Meir posel. Rabbi Meir disqualifies the animal as a wall for the sukkah because he's choshesh for its dying. And Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to worry about things, animals dying. Now we have another problem. Kashyo de Rabbi Meir are the Rabbi Meir. Now that we've shown that Rabbi Meir is choshesh lemisa, what about in the case of the wine flask? What did Rabbi Meir say there? He says, go ahead, start drinking and rely on the verbal tithing that will remain till the end. He's not worried about the flask breaking. So he's not Choshesh Lemisa there. So this would be a contradiction. Rabbi Meir by the sukkah is Choshesh for the animal dying, and Rabbi Meir by the wine is not Choshesh for the flask cracking. Omar Loch Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir will answer, Miso Shchicha. Creatures dying is commonplace. Bekias hanod lo shchicha. The splitting of a flask is something unusual. Efshe demoser le l'shomer. You can always give a flask to someone to guard it, to protect it from cracking. Kashya de Rabbi Yehuda ad Rabbi Yehuda. Now we have a problem within the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. In the case of Sukkah, he was not choshesh for the animal dying. He allowed the animal to be made as a wall of a sukkah. And yet, in the case of the wine and the tithes that were to be left over at the end, Rabbi Yehuda didn't allow that because he was choshesh for the flask splitting. So, is that not a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda? By sukkah, he's not choshesh lemisa, and by the wine, he is choshesh lemisa. The Gemara answers, Taimo de Rabbi Yehuda, the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda in the case of the wine and the tithing, which he did not allow, lav mishum de chayesh lebekiyas anod. His refusing to allow you to rely on the later tithing to give license to the initial drinking, it's not because he's worried the flask might break and the tithes won't remain till the end. Elo mishum the less lay brera. It's because Rabbi Yehuda simply doesn't hold from retroactive determination. The case of the tithing was based on the wine you would leave over at the end, and you would then be able to say that this wine that was left over at the end retroactively is the same wine that I had verbally declared to be the tithe. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold from that he doesn't feel that is an effective method. He doesn't hold from the whole concept of retroactive determination. Therefore, that's the reason why Rabbi Yehuda prohibits in the case of the wine, not because he's choshesh from Misa, because in principle, Rabbi Yehuda is not choshesh lemisa. Question. And notice this question lasts a couple of lines. Lo chayish Rabbi Yehuda lebekiyas hanod. You said two lines above, or that Rabbi Yehuda is not choshesh for splitting of the bottle. Who says? V'ha midiktani seifa, the continuation of that wine tithing source. It says there in the seifa, Omru lo the Rabbi Meir, the opponents said to Rabbi Meir, and amongst the opponents was Rabbi Yehuda, Iata moida shema yibok anoid. Are you, Rabbi Meir, not worried that the flask might break? And then retroactively, everything he was drinking was untithed. The Omar Lahu Lichishiboka. And Rabbi Meir said back to them, and we said back to them, it means including Rabbi Yehuda, I worry about it when it breaks. But now when they were speaking to Rabbi Meir, and we say they includes Rabbi Yehuda, they said, aren't you worried that the flask might break? Michlal the Chayish Rabbi Yehuda lebekiyas hanod. So it becomes apparent that Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that one should worry that about the flask splitting. So this brings into question the answer that we gave, the most recent inverted triangle, where we had said that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion concerning the wine was not because of chashash of bekiyas hanod. Here we see that he is choshesh for bekiyas hanod. The Gemara answers, Hosom Rabbi Yehuda hu de Kamal Rabbi Meir. That which we just saw with the rabbis, including Rabbi Yehuda, mentioning the flask might breaking, was Rabbi Yehuda talking to Rabbi Meir on Rabbi Meir's terms. Lididi, I personally, says Rabbi Yehuda, I won't allow that wine tithing because less li brera. I don't hold from the whole institution of retroactive determination. That's why I say you're not allowed to start drinking after that verbal declaration. But according to you, Rabbi Meir, you hold from the effectiveness of retroactive determination. But aren't you worried that the flask might break before you ever get to the end and you'll end up with no tithes whatsoever? Omar lay, so Rabbi Meir says back, I'll worry about it when it happens. We have an arrow here in the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. You align this with the arrow second line from the top. It was said over there after we did the epoch, we switched around the shittas. We had Rabbi Yehuda saying, that one is not choshesh. Rebut is of the opinion lo chayesh lemisa. And with that, we explained source Roman numeral number 1. Here the Gemara asks, v'lo chayesh Reb Yehuda lemisa? Is that really so? The Reb Yehuda is not choshesh lemisa. V'hotnan, we have a source. It's a very brief quote, but you have to know the background. And this source deals with the setting aside of a person to serve as Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash, and he would do the Yom Kippur service. And in order for him to be able to do the Yom Kippur service, he must be a married man. The pasuk says v'chiver ba'ado u'ba'ad beiso, and the word beiso in the pasuk is a reference to one's wife. So the Kohen Gadol must be married. Now we know in the Mishnah, in the beginning of Maseches Yuma, mention is made of a replacement Kohen Gadol in the event that the current Kohen Gadol becomes unfit. Let's say he becomes tomei, so he can't do the avodas beis hamikdash. So there's a replacement Kohen Gadol that is set aside. Rabbi Yehuda, now we read this source. V'hotnan Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af isha acheres maskinim lo, a replacement woman is set aside for the Kohen Gadol. And why? Shema tamus ishto. We need to have a situation where the Kohen Gadol will always be in a state of marriage during, at least during Yom Kippur, so that he conforms to the pasuk's requirement, v'fibre ba'adu v'ad beiso. So a replacement wife is set aside. And what we want to emphasize here is at what we have marked off. We say here, isha acheres maskinim shema tamus ishto. We're afraid that the Kohen Gadol's original wife will die. That's why Reb Yehuda says have a replacement wife set aside. Well, what does that show you? It shows that Reb Yehuda is of the opinion of Shema Tomus. So how can we have said before that in the switch around and come out with Reb Yehuda saying we're not choshesh for Misa? Here we see that Reb Yehuda is choshesh for Misa. The Gemara answers, Ha'itmar Allah, it was said concerning this, Amar Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, Male Osu Bekapora. In general, Rav Yehuda is not Choshesh Lemisa. However, in the case of Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, where the Kohen Gadol does the Avodas Yom Kippur, and that creates atonement for on behalf of the Jewish people, so we have a stringency when it comes to matters of kapara. We want to cover all bases, even the case of his wife might die. But that's not because of me'ikar hadin, a basic legal requirement, but rather it's a mala, it's an extra stringency. There's a Rashi that comments on this. Bekapara, it says bekaporas yom hakipurim also boy mala zu. That here we're starting to worry about someone might die, the woman might die, dying, even though it's a chashash that I would not apply elsewhere. The Gemara will continue concerning the two deos of why Rabbi Meir passels an animal as the wall of a sukkah. But since we're in the context of the Daf Yomi program, so we'll pause over here. Ritz Hashem, next time we'll have to pick up with a brief recap of what needs to be said. But before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com.